Now, I'm going to show you some things, and I'm going to be in this book here for a little bit. And at the camp meeting, I'm taking some time off, so we'll get back when I get back here, so you'll have time to get over being mad at me. Amen. And I hope you get so mad that you actually get this and read it to just show that I'm wrong. Just prove to me that he is wrong. Amen. Now, I'm a little different by teaching on this because I'm totally ignorant of these devices. And that's a good thing for me. But it's also a thing that will hinder us. I've seen preacher two times get in a pulpit with a laptop and preach off of it. I think that's abomination to God. Amen. I really do. He said, preach a book. He didn't say, preach a laptop. Amen. He said, well, the book's written on there. They just something about that screen. It's a proven fact that the brightness of that screen, late night, where children might watch 2 or 3 hours of it before they go to bed or play games, that stimulates the brain into believing that it's daytime, the child's hard to sleep. It's also a known fact, these are medical facts, that when you teach, or when you allow a child to spend a whole lot of time on it, he begins to withdraw himself from personal relationships and seclude himself. Amen. And most all of these shootings that takes place, they can always trace it back to a high level of activity on the social media about every time. And so it's a dangerous thing. And it's called a device, and I wrote the scripture down, but I didn't bring it in here about we're not ignorant of his devices. Where's that scripture? Anybody? In Colossians, 2 Corinthians? What is that? Is it Ephesians? I wrote the verse down on my laptop. On my desk pad. I wrote it down on my laptop, but I didn't bring it in. You know what I like about books, and that's another thing it does. It takes books away from it. You know what I like about books? I've been reading this book. I've got it underlined, noted, scripture, marked, yellowed, red, and I can have that book for the rest of my life. And I can pull that book out of my shelf any given time and go right back and get that stuff out of it. Amen. And that is your discern, whatever you want to do, but I'm going to preach against it. I'm going to scream against it. I'm going to holler against it because it's stealing our children. It's sucking the brains out of them. Very few of them have any interest in the things of God. It takes away the reading from a child. Don't have to read nothing. I can go in there in 2 minutes and get the information I get from reading. Brother Linton. Read that.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
That's it. Now that don't mean he particularly might have invented the computer or had it invented, but that means he can use that. And I'm of the persuasion every bad thing came in as a good thing. Amen. And he has used it. What you used to go to a certain side of town to get the material, now you can funnel it right into your home. Amen?
Amen.
But I want to show you something this morning. let me just start here. There are five core needs of every person. There are five needs that every person has. Now, when you get to be an adult, you got more discernment, you got more maturity. The mind doesn't completely develop in a person about 26 years old, 27 years old. So up to that time, whatever impressions made on that child prior to that time to where you actually become an adult in your mind, some of you think you are when you're 15, but you're not, and some of you ain't when you're 50. But if everything's going as God planned, you're supposed to be kind of mature at 26, 27 years old. That's why God didn't put people in the priesthood till they was 30. Amen? There's a reason for that. But first thing that everybody needs is security. That's the first thing. You have to feel secure. Security is our first core need, and security speaks of who can I trust. Amen? Now, when you spend a great amount of time on social media, you lose your ability to trust in humans and people around you. That's why many of the children have, the mamas and daddies has problem with their children. Because the trust is removed away from the parents, the authority, away from the police, the authority, away from civil government, the authority, and it's put in the security of whoever my friends are on what, that's why they listen to them. That's why they can persuade them. That's why they can talk a little 13, 14, 15-year-old girl into sneaking out of the house and meeting them somewhere in a park and usually don't come home. 15-year-old the other day, killed in the woods behind her house. Amen? And from some guy she met on Facebook that, first of all, or on social media, first of all, they're going to lie about their age. Many times they don't even put a picture of themselves on there. They get a picture of some good-looking guy and put on there. So you don't really know who you got this relationship going with. But it's security. Who can I trust? Well, as children of God, born-again children of God, first of all, you trust in your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation, but also for protection, for a relationship, for security. Amen? Everybody has this core need of security. It only becomes a problem when we begin looking for security in the wrong places. Some people get their security out of a bottle. They get it out of drugs. They get it out of relationships. And see, when you go that route, you get all warped up with it. Some young people try to meet their need for security in technology and its availability. That's why they can't put it down. That's why they go into shock when they're at grandma's house and don't have good internet. I'm telling you the truth. They will, as Peyton says, they'll freak out on you. Little Peyton's over to the house one night. She got bedtime. She's ready to go home. She said, if I ain't at my house when my mama gets ready to go to bed, she will freak out. But that's why. That's why they can't leave it. That's why they can't lay it down nowhere. That's why it actually has to be in their hand instead of on their body. I mean, you've seen that. And it's, who can I trust? And so that's their security. Well, we need it because it is security. And I need to get my 8-year-old girl one so I know where she's at. Now they got them developed where all you can do on that is call a certain number. And people are buying these children these phones, 5, 6 years old. See where the security is? It's in the phone. Security ain't in the fact that my mama's going to take care of me, my daddy's going to protect me. Amen. I can trust in the civil law. You see where that? But it's a good security thing. And you miss the whole thing. Many believe technology will never let them down, as human relationships will. Amen? The first core need is security. Perhaps we trust in technology because our computer disasters usually aren't disasters at all. We can just punch a key undo and the disaster's over. That's why they can't handle problems. That's why they have a come apart. Least little thing happens, they fall all to pieces. Everything's a disaster. Why, you don't have no key to punch. That's not the real world. That's not the world. The world you live in, the world you're going to be raised in, ain't nothing but trouble. Job, man, days are few and full of trouble. You know what you're hunting? You're hunting for a trouble-free world. There's no trouble-free world. That's why you go pay $50,000 for this car that's supposed to not have trouble. You have a flat, especially you women, you need a whole set of tires. You don't need to go get the flat fixed. If the car won't crank because the battery's dead, guess what you need? We need a new car. No, you don't. You need a new battery. See how it fools with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, and I get into it. I get so wired up about this. I just see these kids working at fast food restaurants. Their brains has been sucked out of their head. They cannot function. We stepped up. Was that yesterday morning? The little old lady asked me what I wanted. I gave her the order and somebody done something by her. Well, she just lost everything, turned around and started looking at them. I said, hey, ho, focus on me here. I'm trying to order something. Was it yesterday? It might have been day. It might have, I said, I'm the customer. That ain't got nothing to do with you. You say you speak? I sure do. Why? Because you're a complete idiot because your brains have been sucked out of your head. You cannot function. Amen? So all you got to do when disaster hits on that social media, you just click it, push a button, undo it. Amen? Set it down, whatever you do, reboot it, unplug it. Amen? And then you're good to go again, and that problem's gone, and you're off on your way in about a minute or two. Teenagers go to grandmama's house. The signal don't work. They don't want to go back to grandmama's house. Why? They ain't got a signal. Seriously. It ain't precious to be at grandmama's house and spend time with grandmama and granddaddy. Why? Because I can't be on my toes in my... Amen? Well, she don't have a good signal. I don't want to go over there. Amen? Many of today's teens are securing things, being quick, perfect, and easy. That's why they don't have an attention span that long. That's why if you preach 30 minutes, I can't believe you preached that long. Why? It's wham, bam, on my way. They look at a false world. They look at a world on that thing. They're involved in things on that thing where it appears to be a perfect world. There's no perfect world. Amen. They trust that the access they need will always be ready available. They don't need directions to get anywhere because they have a phone with a GPS on it. I deal with that all the time. 90% of the teenagers in here couldn't read a map if you gave them one. They could not find their way home. I took a bunch of them out west that time. And Caleb was with me. Caleb. He had a phone with that hookup on it and a laptop. I said, how far is it so-and-so? Well, by the time he got a signal, got it on, it booted up, got it hooked up to his phone. I'm running 80 miles an hour. I reached down and get a map out, read the map, say, we got about 80 miles. Well, how'd you do that? Well, I'm at exit so-and-so, and that city's at exit so-and-so. If you do a little adding and subtracting there, that's how far you got to go. We got a young man in here traveling all over the country. He don't even have a map with him. He's a visitor this morning. I don't leave the house without a map. Me and Miss Meyer, we borrowed, I think it was Bubba's GPS, went up to Montreal. That thing drove me nuts. That stupid woman talking to me all the time. We get on one interstate, run 800 miles on that one interstate up through there, and she said, in 1,500 feet, you must exit to the right. We zoom by, uh-oh, you must turn around. My God, get a map. You want that map to talk to you? Pull it out and look at it. When you want to shut up, stick it back where you had it. She done it all the way up there. Coming back, I said, unplug it. I don't need it. I've functioned in this world almost 70 years without a map, without a GPS. We have people. You need directions to the church? No, I got a GPS. Oh, about 30 minutes after church starts, you hear the phone ring. Well, that GPS, I'm over here so-and-so. And I said, well, if you'd have listened to me, I'd have told you how to get here. It ain't but two turns off the interstate. When teens don't have instant access to their technology, their security feels threatened. Security. Teen draws Social Security and their ability to win and be happy. It's what they trust that matters, not who they trust. Your security and your happiness ought to be your surroundings. Who's your friends? What church you attend? Who's your buddies? And to call somebody a friend you've never met, you've never touched, it meant you've never seen, and yet you call them your friend. They're not your friends. I got 200 friends, and the big thing with a teen now, do they like me or dislike me? And I got 200 likes last night. How many did you get? You put some on there and somebody throws their little hand up. I like it. I'd like to throw another hand up, but I can't do it in church. Y'all got the drift there? That is so childish and so immature to want the exception of someone you've never met and the approval of someone you've never met, and you won't ever meet them. That's why we have no spirituality left among our people today. That's why the preacher get up, preach 45 minutes. It no longer is effective past getting out the door. The world, their world is out there. There's no need for nobody to have on their phone the service that will let you know every news event in the world within 3 minutes. There's no need for that. That is too much info. You'll be shot yourself. Seriously, there's no need to know that. Matter of fact, the Bible warns us about, not glorying, but something about another man's calamity. I like gawking at disasters and want to know and amulet chasers, you know. The Bible warns us about that. Why? You're not wired for that. That's why when God created things, everybody had their own little communities, and that's where your world was to be, in that community. Trusting people doesn't come naturally to young people, partly because they're relating through social media and texting. So they have a hard time trusting people. They have a hard time believing the preacher. They have a hard time believing mom and daddy. They have a hard time believing the Sunday school teacher. You say, why? Because they got a wealth of information. And you get up and teach something, well, that ain't what this says here. You got the Bible out. You got all kind of teachings on that thing. See, we're used to, you come to church, your Sunday school teacher was a hero. Most mega churches in America was built through Sunday school classes. I told you I'm going to make you mad. Amen. This book, I'm telling you, I recommend it, and we still got a bookshelf full of them in there, but you ain't going to read nothing. You can get it on Kindle if that'll help you. It's on Kindle if that'll help you. And maybe it'll get that fix you got going or whatever it is, and you can look at it and read it and get something out of it. I like it because I can mark in it. What is worship? Worship is assigning lordship to God and giving Him our attention and praise. Giving Him the preeminence in our day. In other words, our daily thoughts is upon God, God's goodness, what God's done for us. Amen. What God has promised us, what the Word of God says, where we're going. Amen. He'll provide all my needs. But the social media has took that away from us to where that is not our thoughts. Our thoughts is who. That's why you go to any workplace, they used to have cigarette break. Now they take a phone break. Yes, sir. You go. You watch them when they take their breaks. They go out there and sit for. Do they not? Jerk that phone out, and they go out there and sit for 15 minutes and do whatever. And if they're working around a place where they have a policy not to be on it, you will see them continually sneaking around and seeing what's on that phone. I walked in this Walgreens right here, the pharmacy department. The guy's looking there at something, and he said, could I help you? And I said, yeah, I need to pick up a prescription. I don't know why I was down there for something. And his phone went off in his pocket. He pulls that phone out and answers that whatever, then turn around and say, can I help you? So what happened? His brain just gone. And I didn't express myself. Well, I tell you, I just say something. Y'all put up with me, don't you? I say something. Amen? So, and so that's security, security. You've ever seen teens with their tech twos and wonder if they almost worship their technology? Yes, I see it. I see it around here. That's why they got to have the latest and greatest when ain't nothing wrong with the old. They got to have the latest upgrade. Something comes out. Why would anybody sit in line or camp out in line for over a week to get the latest iPhone? They do it all the time. You see it on the, does it not? I'm talking about thousands of them. They something obsessive with that. They something, and in a Christian's life, that obsession has no part, should not be in a Christian's life. Our obsession should be with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, what God has done for us. Amen. It should be telling people about Jesus Christ. You know, there's just no reason for that. And I can tell you right now, probably half of this church spends more time on those electronic devices than they do in that book. First thing you grab is that electronic device in the morning instead of that book. Amen? I get up in the morning, I get me a cup of coffee, I sit down at my dining room table, my wife's here, and I read 6 chapters out of my Bible every morning. You say, I do that before I do anything. Why? Because if I don't do it like that, it don't get done. And I want my day to start with my God. Amen. And then we'll add everything else. But I want my day to start out with my God. So you got security. The second one is identity. Who am I? Who am I? You know what people try to establish all their life is, I want to be somebody. Fame. Does anybody know me? Does anybody recognize me? Amen. Identity is our second one. And this way, we define ourselves influence. How we define ourselves influences our behavior. For some teens, screen use has contributed to an undeveloped identity. They become something they're not. They may be devoting so much time to gaming and staying connected with friends that they don't have time or desire to broaden their interests or learn new skills. You know another thing that this thing does? Don't let your child go to bed with it. Don't let him keep it in the room. Put the cell phone in the kitchen away from them. But see, we got mamas and daddies doing that. That's why you won't enforce it in your child's life. Amen. You say, well, I told them not to. Oh, yeah, they always do exactly what you tell them. Amen. Always. I mean, you can trust that little nerd. A child's going to push every limit you set on them. Every limit you set, they're going to push it. That's who they are. That's what you done. That's what I done. Amen. Did we not? Don't go near that fence. So you hanging off of this. I thought you meant that fence. That's what we all done. Don't climb that tree. So you 100 feet in another tree. Oh, I didn't know you were talking about this tree. That's what kids do. Don't run in the hall. So they ain't here running. Oh, you said don't run in the hall. Don't run in the church. Is that all they do? That's our nature. You know what they're going to do when they have these devices? They're going to push every limit. Amen? They don't have time. They don't have time to develop skills. They don't have time. And another thing is leaving television on and stuff like that. Boredom is one of the best things for a child. They become inventive. They come up with things. You know why we played with the toys we did when I was a boy? We didn't have toys, and we bored to death. We'd take anything, make a toy out of it. Take two blocks, old two before, make a tractor out of one, a trailer out of the other, drill nails in them, tie a string to them, we haul lumber and wood and dirt everywhere. Didn't have no wheels on it, just two blocks of wood. Kids don't do that no more. I'm bored. I need to go get a toy. Boredom is good. Quiet bedroom is good. Amen. That's a good thing. They'll come up with things. And they'll invent things. And they'll have ideals. And they might even master a skill like artists or drawing or writing or something. But see, when you got something in their hand continually to keep their time, then there's no time to develop. There's no time for their minds to work. Everybody's doing the thinking for them. When young people interact with many people on social media, their identity gets confused. Many of the people who post, they follow, don't even know them personally. And they start seeking to be someone that they don't even know or be like someone they don't even know. And I said something about it the other night. Well, I'm pretty. Well, I'm ugly. She's pretty. What do you know what pretty is? What is pretty? Where is this set rule on pretty? Where's the rule on handsome? Ain't nobody said this is the standard right here. Well, I don't look like that, so I'm ugly. Amen? See, in 1927, an Italian photographer models, he went down to the Caribbean Islands and he took some pictures of some real tan people. Polynesian people. Well, that got to be a big hit. If you look at photographs from the 1927 back, every one of them was white as snow and plump. Full of fear. Not fair. It was full of fear. That set the pattern 1960 or while it came out in England and quit. Remember her name? Yep. Weighed 60 pounds, about 6 foot tall. Well, that set the standard for models. So you got to be skinny now to be a model. The other day, I heard it on the news where the woman had her skinny jeans on and they were so tight that they cut the circulation off the arm and they were trying to save her leg. Something wrong with that. Yeah, is that? That's a news item. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. You know why? We don't hear no news. All I want is something to make me feel good. Warm and fuzzies all over every day. That ain't the real world. But she had on her skinny jeans and they were so tight they cut the circulation off her feet and her calves and they was trying to get her legs. She was having to cut her legs off. Is that not stupid? Why? So you look good? Who said skinny jeans look good? So you're all warped up on what's accessible. Amen. Was Eve tall? Was she short? Could you tell if she's walking or rolling? I mean, you know what you do? You set your standards on about what you see about this Hollywood world, these entertainer worlds, these little skinny models, and you don't look like that, so you think that, well, if you could ever get where you're comfortable in your skin and who God made you and with your looks, you would be amazed at the peace of God that passes all understanding through your soul. Now, age will take care of all that stuff you got right now, you young people. You get old, it don't matter. Bless God, I'm just glad to be standing up and moving forward. My hair don't matter. I'm just glad it's still hanging on. Amen? And I mean, age will take care of a multitude of your problems you have right now. My teeth ain't white. Amen. Age, you're just glad to have teeth. Amen. Well, I got a gut. Yep, you're going to keep it. And what's happening to our young people, they see in these identities and these performers and these Hollywood actors, and you're not even to be looking at them, much less trying to fashion yourself after them. Amen? That's what that does. But you got to have an identity. And the most precious thing you can have is an identity that I'm Connor Justice, and God didn't make but one of them. And y'all heard me say that? They ain't another one of me on earth. God did not make another one of me. When you get to hunting a pastor, don't hunt Brother Charlie. They ain't another one. They's not another Brother Lutry. That's a good thing. That's a good thing they ain't another one of me. The world can't handle another one of me. They ain't another Brother Jack Wood. They ain't another Brother Linton. God made you, and so your identity is you. Well, I wish I had blonde hair. Well, go down here and buy you a bottle of stuff and make it blonde. I wish I had blue eyes. You can go buy the contacts, make them blue. Man, just be you. Who was that old preacher? Old boy head in here said, God told me if I wasn't me, there'd be no me. That's a good quote. If you ain't you, there'll be no you. Quit comparing yourself with people and quit, well, I wish I was tall like she was. Well, I wish I... And I'll tell you, I've never met a blonde head that didn't want to be a brunette. I never met a big person that didn't want to be a little person. Never met a little person that won't be a big person. And most kids, if they got two names, they'll start swapping them names from what their parents call them. Scott goes to school and tells everybody his name's Jeffrey. Well, his name's Jeffrey Scott, so they call us wanting Jeffrey this. And I said, I ain't got a clue who you're talking about. And kind of, it was him. He went over and tell it, you know, his name's Jeffrey Scott Andrews. He goes to school and starts telling him his name's Jeffrey. Y'all do the same? Boy, I wish I had another name. Why? That's who God made you. That's who your parents named you. Trust your parents. They have your best interest. So you got security, you got identity. That the social media it cater to that. You also have belonging. Belonging is who wants me. And that's a danger thing right there. You gotta belong. That's why the gang activity in this world is so bad. That's why, in church, that's why the fellowship of the church and the fact that I belong to this church, I'm part of the body of this church, I'm a member of this church. And see, that's slowly taken that way. Belonging is healthiest when we meet this need by belonging to God. You ladies in here got married? I realize you're not your husband's property, but you belong to him. Your affections, your love, your caring, your person is his. Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 7. Amen? What an honor and what a privilege and what an order that God had set up. Until you get married, you know who you belong to? You belong to your parents or the person responsible to raise you. And what an honor that is. What an honor. Amen? But what happens, these renegades and these rebels, they get on this social media world and they get the belonging to someone else. That's why they can sway them so easy and why they can sort them out like little stray sheep and why they can talk them in to doing things. ISIS had talked that 17-year-old boy who had 4,000 followers up here in Virginia. And remember that? And they were training for roadside bombs in America here about a month ago. Did y'all see that on? Some of these people ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. Did y'all see that? This boy was 17 years old in high school, and he wasn't even a foreigner of descent. He had 4,000 followers, and him 17 years old, and they was meeting and training for roadside bombs, to how to set up in roadside bombs. You say, how is that? He got separated. He had to have a place to belong. The downfall of our home and the fact that our homes is all the pieces now, no longer the home structure of mom and daddy, is set up so that it's easy to prey on these children.
Amen.
Yeah, all of these children, that boy shot that theater up out there, all of these children has a messed up home and has a messed up family. And this little boy shot that church up there, they ain't said a whole lot about his family, but I bet when they do get in there, that'll be a messed up situation. Somebody taught that kid to hate that bad at that age. That is not natural. That is demonic hatred. That is from the devil. God don't teach you. God don't lead you to hate nobody that bad. Teens who place their security in technology are more likely also to attempt to meet their belonging need through technology. In other words, that's their buddy, that's their friend, that's who I'm trusting in. It don't lie to me. Remember the little commercial about the guy that met the French model on the, and the old boy walks up, you know, and he looked like a shipwreck. And the guy said, "Where'd you meet him?" She said, "On the internet." And you know everything on the internet's true. He had convinced her he's a French model, you know. You know, and he looked like death warmed over. But you can do that. Women, I'm telling you, you are the weaker vessel. You're more easily to be deceived. And you need to realize that. That little woman that helped them two prisoners break out up there, she was thoroughly convinced that both of them loved her. Both of them, they were going to break out, kill her husband, and they were going to get in her car and drive to Mexico. They had her convinced of that. And she's sneaking hacksaws in and hamburger meat and everything else. Women are deceptive. They are easily deceived. They fall in love with what they hear. Just, you know, well, I don't like that. Well, you'll get over it, and you might be too old, but you will. That's why a woman goes into the workplace. 75% of all women that go out into the workplace and offices end up in an adulterous relationship. Amen. That's why you ain't got no business in no chat room. You ain't got no business on that thing with nobody. Amen. They're just shooting the breeze and carrying on a little lightly conversation. Next thing you know, things just went sour here. Well, he is so sweet, you ain't even talk to him. Well, he cares about my problems. No, he don't. No, he don't. And we got mixed company, and we won't go no further. He cares not about your problem. He could care less if you were bald-headed. Amen? Don't get in them chat rooms. And I can give you about 5 illustrations of people doing that. But I won't. For the sake of privacy. You cannot do that. You cannot hang around them places. They're poison. You don't need to be on Facebook with people you don't know. I would have a problem with Miss Meyer talking to a man on Facebook, just like I'd have a problem with seeing her behind a strip mall somewhere talking to a man in the car. I'd have the same problem. Amen. Somebody's going to get hurt real bad. And it'd probably be both of them, because if she'd do that, I'd just take her out too. You can get away with it if you do both of them. You can plead insanity. A jealous rage. I just shot everybody. An old tomcat hanging out back there, I killed him too. Amen. I killed everything moved. Everything breathing, I shot. That's me. I'm just that way. And I'm old. I know I'm old school and I ain't up to date and I don't understand and I understand all that. I know all your excuses. So you're going to do exactly what you want to. But God, I'm going to warn you. And I'm going to try to teach you to use it right. Use it for the glory of God. Use it for business. Use it for ministry. Use it to witness. Use it to keep in touch with your loved ones. It might be all the way across this country. But then get off of that thing. Don't sit there and let that thing entertain you 10, 12 hours a day. It will get you in trouble. It will destroy your children and the love your children has for you and God. And your mamas and daddies, if you're not willing to do it and straighten your life out about it, those children will not either. So we got the two of them today, and we're going to cover some more of them. It's a dangerous thing if not used right. It's a dangerous thing if not used right. There's the book. We're not in the book selling business. That bookstore is so you can get your hands on some good material. That's what that's for. There's the book. You don't have to go nowhere to hunt it. Get it and read it. If you got kids, if you care about them, get it and read it. If you don't, let them do whatever they want to do.